The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
DrinkAid is the best tasting and most effective way to help prevent hangovers. It's the fastest growing hangover prevention beverage in the U.S. and helps neutralize toxins created by alcohol, restores vital nutrients, and rehydrates the body with electrolytes. Take one 3.4-ounce bottle before or while drinking, or even after a workout to feel great the next day. Key ingredients include potassium, B vitamins, milk thistle, green tea extract, aloe vera, and amino acids. It's not only sugar-free, but it's gluten-free, low-calorie, and it tastes great. Skeptical? Check out all the incredible reviews on Amazon, which I have, and they are incredible. It's available at many fine retailers across the U.S., including GNC, Vitamin Shoppe, as well as BevMo in California, Specs in Texas, Binny's in Chicago, and all the hottest casino resorts in Vegas. And, of course, on Amazon.com and DrinkAid.com. That's DrinkAide.com. Use the promo code HOCKEY, HOCKEY, to get 25% off your first order of DrinkAid.com.
Have fun with your important conversations and your big issues with your brains and your smart stuff, okay? We got hockey to learn.
Dr. Hockey.
Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast. I am very excited to be here on a Tuesday afternoon. This will be going out on Thursday. This is our 80s movie night episode. This is Jason. Are you ready?
Like, for sure.
And there you go. Already hitting up with the Valley Girl. There you have it.
Great movie. Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage.
What 1983, I think it came out.
Nice. Pretty good.
And they actually ate at Dupar's restaurant, which is now gone in Studio City. It was on Ventura. It's now gone. I think it's a makeup store now. But that's where a lot of the restaurant scenes were filmed. And yeah.
Well, let's get going because this is going to be a big episode. And we have to get through some hockey because we had a conversation by text about the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yes.
They're doing great. They look great.
They're a team that I have to say is kind of like the dark horse of playoff teams that are playoff worthy. You don't hear much about them. They have a new coach, obviously Rod Brind'Amour.
Yeah, that's okay. Good.
Yeah,
I think that's a big deal.
And the biggest question always is, do great players translate to great coaches? I mean, Gretzky had some trouble initially. What would he in Phoenix or Arizona, whatever it was at the time? And you know, so does this? Is he going to translate? Doug Waite was coaching in the Islanders.
That's right.
It didn't work out.
No,
I don't think it's his fault per se, but. Do great players translate to great coaches? So, but Brind'Amour, listen, legend, Hall of Famer. So let's see what he can do. But he's got these guys playing, and they're a young team.
Well, they have talent. They have a ton of talent.
A lot of talent. So, and their first round pick from this past draft.
Of course, we talked about
Svechnikov, whose brother plays defense for Detroit, who's actually injured right now.
It always goes back to Detroit. But, did you see that? Sean Gosser. Sean, are you on?
Well,
I mean, do you see what he did? Like, we're talking about the Hurricanes. Suddenly, there's a redirect, and we're already talking about Detroit.
Oh, what is this, Detroit?
It happened quickly. It's very quick. We were six sentences into the podcast. Go ahead. Back to Detroit.
My point.
We're 2 minutes and 15 seconds in, Jason. You couldn't resist.
He couldn't help himself. There it goes.
No, I'm surprised it wasn't sooner.
Is Steve Yzerman coming? That's all I want to know. Is he going to be here tonight?
So, Svechnikov is actually doing very well. He's on the fourth line right now. But he's holding his own as a rookie, and it's nice to see. But they have a combination of veterans with Staal and Williams, and then you mix them in with players like Aho, who was one of the players that was Stars of the Week last week.
Yeah.
And again, listen, I follow hockey. I obviously follow the Wings more than any other team. But you talk about the big flashy players and the big names: Matthews, the Tavares, the Stamkos. You know, these are the guys that, you know, Crosby, Malkin, these are the guys that get all the attention. You don't hear much about Aho or Teravainen. You don't hear much. And they both combined for over, I think it was almost 60 goals last season.
Yeah, I mean, Teuvo Teravainen is a deadly goal scorer. He's excellent.
Over 120 points between the two of them.
Yep.
I mean, that's pretty impressive. And you don't hear much really outside the crazy hockey world of the people that are in the know. You don't hear much about them.
Well, and they also have Jordan Staal.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a veteran player.
Yeah.
He is a definite leader of this team, along with Justin Williams, who really is
won a cup.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a real team. They've got serious juice. And, you know, Jordan Stahl's been around a long while as well. He's 12 years into his career. Just to one up your Red Wings call out, Stahl, of course, started in Pittsburgh, won a cup there. And so they've got some guys who've been there and done that. And remember, the Hurricanes have won a cup with Lavalette. Back in the, it was when one of our Dr. Hockey podcast guests, Oleg Tverdovsky, played for the Hurricanes. And, you know, he'd also won the cup with the Devils. So the culture of Stanley Cup is not foreign to a very young team in terms of the NHL, the Carolina Hurricanes. They look great. They could definitely make the playoffs this year.
Who's their anchor on defense? Dougie Hamilton. I mean, like, again.
Yeah. No, that's legit.
These guys know what it takes. And when you mix that in with some really skilled young guys, it tends to rub off on them. And now, they know the culture is there.
Has Svechnikov, I have not followed his scoring. Has he put up some numbers already? He has played 6 games. He's got 2 goals and 2 assists. That's pretty decent. Yeah, I mean, that ain't too shabby. And he's, how old is this guy?
He's 19, I think.
He's born in 2000.
Yeah.
Okay. I think he's the first one. So he is 19 years old.
It just freaks me out that these guys could be our sons.
Absolutely. I mean, they're amazing.
They could have been your sons for a while, but people born in 2000s, that's just next level youngness there.
It is.
It's
mind blowing. Even Sean Gosser feels that it's young.
Even
did
I
you bang
feel
your
old.
Forehead against the glass or something?
Yes,
what was
I
that
did.
Noise? I heard a thud. I don't know what that was.
Well, and I'm glad that you brought them up because the Hurricanes.
We don't talk about them, and I think we should because they're going to be out there competing. And if they're, you know, come playoff time, I have a feeling they're going to be in the playoffs, and I think they're going to be deadly.
Well, and if we think that that we're going to have the Hurricanes in the playoffs, who would you trade out from last year then that's not going to be in the playoffs?
From the East?
Yeah.
I'm kind of on the fence. I'm kind of on the fence about Columbus.
Yeah. I mean, I think Columbus without Seth Jones is a different team.
It's a different team, and they don't have as much on defense. I mean, you know, it's Werenski can only do so much by himself. He does have a decent supporting cast, but that when you take out a player like Seth Jones in his caliber, you just it's not the same.
When is he expected back? Do we know what Seth Jones' injury? Let me do a quick search because I'm not sure he's back for six weeks.
It's going to be a while, I think. But
I mean, he is – you know, an anchor for that team, 4 to 6 weeks, and that was September 26th. So hopefully in the next
month
maybe in early November. Well, we'll see. I mean, I agree with you. I think Columbus hasn't pulled it together. Bobrovsky's not playing the way that I was used to him seeing. None of the goalies, by the way, are playing the way that we expected them to. As Sean Pronger so astutely pointed out, it looks like it's the 80s again with hockey, which is great because – you know, there's a lot of goals to watch, but it's a different kind of game when there's the lamps getting lit up so much.
Yeah, well, and certain teams are more prone to that, and we obviously have seen that in the first couple weeks of the season.
Oh, definitely. I mean, that one game between the Capitals and the Penguins, there were 13 goals.
Right.
Happy to see that the Penguins came down on the winning side of that 13 goals, and, you know, we did get a...
The Wings have let in 13 or 14 goals in the last 2 games. It's terrible.
That's awful.
No, it's more than that, I think, because I think they gave up 8 against – it's 15 goals. They gave up 8 against Boston and gave up, I think, 7 last night.
Well, you know, it's an interesting start to the season. I mean, yeah. I also, like, had some questions about the Ducks, but they pulled out a big win the other night in St. Louis. Getzlaff out. You know, Kessler looks like he needs another, you know, 2 months on the sidelines. He's not ready, but he played and he won some faceoffs and he did okay.
Well, but that always begs the question, does a hurt player who's really good, obviously, but when they're hurt, are they more of a liability for the team?
I don't know. I mean, I think they would probably pull him if they thought he was, but he...
Or does he refuse to come out and say, I'm not going anywhere?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he did okay.
They will not sit out unless they're hemorrhaging. And even then... they'll say, patch me up and get me back out there.
So. It's true. And I just didn't see that as a smart move. But, you know, what do I know? I mean, Getzlaff was out. And you've got I think that they're seeing that Perry's going to be gone till March. They're looking at a rough season. But with the guys they had out there, they dug it out and they won the game. I mean, they wanted it, you know, a non-overtime win, which was kind of cool. Cogliano scored. Silverberg had a breakaway that looked really professional. He got a second one he missed on. But, you know, they've got some young guys that want to score goals, and they're really digging. There's a kid on there named Sherwood who is so disruptive. The defense was almost sort of annoyed that he was, you know, forechecking so hard that they couldn't. Like St. Louis just couldn't get it going out of their zone, and I think it made it very hard for them.
Listen,
so
St. Louis can never get it going. I don't know what's wrong with that franchise. They just can't. They had the firepower, and for years they've always had really good, solid teams. They've been a tough team to play against, especially when Ken Hitchcock was coaching them. They just can't ever get over that hump, and that's something that I think probably at some point has to go back to ownership. And picking the right people for the right positions and doing what they got to do for management. I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's something we should bring up with Sean Pronger again, because I think for some reason I'm thinking that his brother Chris lives in St. Louis. I could be wrong. And I don't know if he's involved with the Blues or if he's involved with another team, but I think he's living in St. Louis now. So I'd be interested to get his perspective on, you know. And by the way, the Paul Stastny trade at the end of the season last year, what's happened now? What?
Stastny's out 2 months.
I know. I saw that.
I mean, that's
for the Golden Knights. Yeah. That's hurtful.
Yeah,
they're down with they got Nate Schmidt out on a.
But see, that was the key to them last year. They did not have any major injuries either.
No,
that was true. The other thing that they were blessed in a sense is that didn't factor in.
Well, Paul Stastny being out is not good for the Vegas Golden Knights. No. I can tell you that right now. I mean, that's some pretty major league, injuries early on in the season. You know,
which may be good in a sense. You get out of the way before playoffs, and hopefully they don't get injured again.
Well, but we will. We'll have to see.
Yeah.
Getting back to our '80s movie night theme. So this is going to be key. I think we have some guests coming in that are going to be helpful in terms of now what we'll do is I don't know how much hockey we're going to get to because again the only '80s movie. Hockey movie we talked about was Youngblood.
Unless it's Rob Lowe about to walk through that door, I'm going to have to get up and imitate Recky from the movie Youngblood and say, "You want to go, pretty boy?"
There you go.
That was a famous line from the movie.
You got it.
Right?
That's awesome.
Actually, and I knew I was very friendly with the coach, Ed Lauder, before he passed away, unfortunately. He used to work out at my gym at Pro Gym in Brentwood.
No way.
He was legend. Always a big, big character actor in Hollywood. You've probably seen him in a million different things. He was a super nice guy, a very sweet guy, and he unfortunately passed away a few years ago. But I had the pleasure of knowing him and getting to know him pretty well, and
That's cool.
He had some good stories.
Well, so I will tell you this, that the movie Youngblood is connected to our actor guests that are coming tonight in a very obscure manner. It's a really, really tough, far-off hint.
Do we start dropping him some hints here? And
I think he's going to get it. I honestly think that they're going to walk in here. I think so too. Too bad people aren't watching this live, but it is going to be up on YouTube. What's our YouTube channel? Is it youtube.com/ Dr. Hockey Podcast? Okay. So this will be up. So you guys can watch it if you want, but everybody needs to download and subscribe. So our Instagram is @ Dr. Hockey Podcast. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/ Dr. Hockey Podcast. Our Twitter is @ Dr. Hockey Podcast, and so is our Instagram handle. And our Facebook, I think, is – I don't even know what our – what's our Facebook? Is
it Dr.
Hockey 9020, because we are in the famous city of Beverly Hills right now, which is also known for its hockey, all that stuff. So Jason, it's
yes.
80s night. This is exciting. We have – you are – famous on the Dr. Hockey Podcast now, believe it or not, for your 80s movie quotes.
I should have worn my Bushwood Country Club, the caddy shirt.
Definitely.
Tonight.
That would be great.
I have a collection of shirts. I'm going to start wearing them here. I have a Double Deuce.
That's a big one.
From Roadhouse.
Yes. Okay. Very few people would know that because they don't pay attention to that part of Roadhouse.
In Jasper, Missouri. Okay. I have... Callahan Auto Parts.
Jasper, Missouri.
It's where it was from.
I got it. I know. I'm with you.
Callahan Auto Parts.
All right.
From Tommy Boy, one of my favorite movies of all time.
Hilarious.
The key to getting a great shirt is it doesn't have the actual movie title in it.
Of course not.
Okay. I have
a Bushwood Country Club hat.
Okay. Looks good on you. You get a free bowl of soup with that?
No, I actually had the, like a black cap that says Bush. Well, it looks okay. Like a country club hat.
From the movie, obviously, with George Smales.
I know. We got you.
When Al Cervic. Okay. I have Speaker City.
Speaker City from... That is Judge Reinhold talks about it.
No. It's,
no?
Vincent Vaughn was in it.
Oh, but that's not an 80s movie.
Yeah. Well, but still, it's one of those. It's like a movie. It's a movie shirt.
Yeah, but that's 2001, I think, right?
Yeah. I have another one.
Old School, by the way.
Yes.
And we quoted, we used the quotes from Old School for John Blue's episode.
Blue, you're my boy. Then I have another one, again, not an 80s movie, but I have Ray Finkel's Football Camp.
That's classic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, we are going to have two guests now, and I don't want you to just blurt it out if you know who they are when they walk in.
Okay.
But they are famous for being in a very famous 80s movie. And typically when we think of 80s movies, I typically think of the 80s comedies. I think of movies like Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I think of Risky Business and
Caddyshack. But those are the
Caddyshack.
Famous ones.
Right. So, well, they're in a famous one.
Yeah, I know. But I like to see – I was more for the – Hot Resort and
like
private School for Girls, Spring Break, Private Lessons. These are the movies that shaped me as an adult and that I had to watch scrambled on Cinemax.
That says a lot right there.
Yeah, well.
that's classic. And by the way, people of today, you have no idea what that's all about.
None.
Like anybody
None.
Who's like 35 and under, they don't even know what you're talking about.
No
like
idea.
Scrambled. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing is these movies, you know, definitely shaped us. I also think of like Better Off Dead, the John Cusack
of course.
Series. I mean, he had loads of movies that were just too funny.
He's skiing on one ski.
It's classic.
That's... Lane Maya, truly a sublime metamorphosis today.
There you go. You got it, dude. I mean, you should have been in these movies.
Oh, I would love to.
Well,
actually, that's where I developed my love for the classic Camaro was from that movie.
From Better Off Dead?
Better Off Dead. That 67 Camaro you
so
had.
Classic.
Oh, it was gorgeous.
Was that the movie with the paper boy that wanted his
$2? Yeah. Ricky, I'm sorry your mom blew up.
That's right. That was so great. Yeah, so these movies are unknown to people who are probably 40 and under. They're really not, don't you think? Maybe 36
probably,
and under in that age range. So, you know, that's because you and I are.
This
a little
is
bit
pure
older.
Snow.
Oh, wait. So, Sean, do you have our guess?
1 minute.
1 minute? Okay, great.
Do you realize the street value of all this snow?
Hilarious. That was, who
Curtis,
was that?
Curtis Armstrong. He played Booger also in Revenge of the Nerds.
Curtis Armstrong. That's
another
right.
Another Detroiter.
That's right. And he also was Miles in
yes.
Risky Business.
Yes, he was.
He was the one who said,
oh, Booger, I feel nothing.
No, wasn't he the guy that said he was
of the nerds.
Great. I can't believe this. I'm in the back of a Porsche,
right.
And I have a trig midterm.
Yes.
I'm being chased by the Guido the Killer Pimp.
Yep.
Yeah, it's something like that. We'll have to get to that quote.
He was so phenomenal in Revenge of the Nerds. It's just one of the top 10 movies for me.
He was in a ton of movies back then.
Yeah.
I don't know where he is now. I mean, I don't know if he's.
He
probably...
was also. You know, he actually was in the movie Ray. He played Ray's manager. I can't remember his last name, but that was his character in the movie.
Now, we had some conversation about the only big hockey movie of the 80s, which was Youngblood.
Yes.
And you referenced the fact that we were going to shave you tonight, which I don't think we're going to do. That's not really – but that was what happened to Rob Lowe when he got indoctrinated onto the team. I don't think they do that anymore because most of the kids today are like shaved.
Oh,
that's a big thing. Yeah, they are. That's a big deal.
Grooming is important.
Manscaping now is like routine, and so there's a lot of that goes on. I don't know if it's big on the hockey clubs.
That'd be a great conversation to see who is manscapes and who doesn't in the NHL.
I'm sure that they all know. I'm sure that they could go down the
could
list and be like, "Oh yeah, he does. He does." No, how can you tell?
I'm just saying.
Come on,
it'd be a great.
Are they on? Are they ready, Shahab? No, all right, good.
That'd be a great, though, like a tournament of 64 to see who's the
I don't even want to know. I mean, it's already just, you know, not anything I want to know. It's really not.
Too much of the curtain being peeled back.
Like, I want to peel back the curtain. I get it. But, like on injuries and contracts and how players get from the AHL to the NHL.
Right.
But manscaping is not something I would need to know about.
I didn't know it's a thing now.
It is a thing, though. Mm-hmm. I do know that. You know, because my, you know, I have a very big laser hair removal business in the Rock Spa. Shameless plug, as Sean, Sean Pronger said last one. But so a lot of guys come in and they want everything cleaned off.
With laser,
like permanent.
I thought it would be like with clip. Okay, this is really getting way off topic.
I'm just telling you. All right. Well, you know, these are things that are important to know. So anyway, our guests will be in here. They will have a lot to talk about 80s movies because they were in one. And in fact, they were in many. So that I will expand that you might not know them from the movie that I referenced that, you know, I kind of brought them in to talk about because they were in a lot of other films. And so you might be like, oh, my God, I know this one was from this and that one was from that. So but they were in a film together. And so that's why I thought they would be fun to bring in because you'd probably recognize them from that.
One of the 80s movie stars that I've always been dying to meet and also afraid to meet is Courtney Gaines. Mm. Do you remember Courtney? He was in the movie Hard Bodies, but also he played Mordecai in The Children of Corn, and that scared the hell out of me. So I'm afraid to meet the guy, but I'd love to meet him. If he's listening, I think you're great, Courtney.
He's not coming in, but I think we're all set. Are they ready? All right, well, let's bring him in. Now, don't blurt it out.
It's like
a game
show here.
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of fun. Let's see if they're available.
Hey, how come Andrew gets to get up?
That's right.
If he gets up, we'll all get up. It'll be anarchy.
Oh, hi, ladies.
My.
Come on in. We're excited about our 80s movie night, Dr. Hockey podcast, and thanks for joining us.
Yes, I'm happy to be here.
Yes, very happy.
And we're only on a first name basis here, so Diane and Kim, and you can probably...
I gotta say, I'm like getting like really kind of like sweaty and red right now because I'm looking at.
I almost gave it away.
I two women, one in particular, to shape my youth growing up.
That's right. They're right in front of you, and that's why I figured you needed to see this because. So every week on the Dr. Hockey podcast, ladies, Jason throws in a 80s movie quote. And he, you know, has a lot of them, by the way. And ones of he quotes things. I'm like, I don't even know what that is. So he probably already knows who you guys are. But I want to hear from him to see what he thinks. And do you know already?
I know, of course. I mean,
you know,
Diane. I yes, of course. But I'm.
Wow.
It's.
So now, can you name the film that they were in together?
Quick hint: you already said the movie title today.
Yeah, but he said like 86, 80.
Yes, because we were grilling him.
Okay, let me think. It was The Last American Virgin, which I have to talk to you about that.
You're lovely.
You know Diane.
Oh, my God, what a movie that was.
The audience has to know that when he walked in, his jaw dropped. And I was like, I can't say anything.
Okay. Yep, that was good.
So it's out of the box. Okay,
so you identified one of the actors.
Yes, then. Yes.
Okay.
Let me see. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yes.
It's got to be. Yes.
Totally.
Yes. It's the princesses.
That's
right.
Well, I just watched that the other day, too.
Well, then you should know then.
Yes.
And you got it like out of the gate. Shahab was like, okay, movies from 1989. You're like, let's see. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. We were like, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And you guys are going, oh, gosh, right?
Yeah.
That was my life. I'm trying to remember your name, though. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Kimberly Cates. But in the movie, it was Kimberly LaBelle.
Yes. Yes. That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
wow.
And do you remember their characters' names?
Well, there was the princesses.
Mm. Yeah, but they had names, though.
We had names. This is going to be the challenging part because it's actually super tricky.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Let me think if I can remember.
Hint, my character was based off a famous queen.
That's right. Oh, yeah. There's only, you know.
Mine was definitely not.
Yeah, I don't know where they came up with your name. That was sort of interesting.
Oh, but one of the characters, a hint for that, one of the characters in the movie played by who? From what band?
Well, Clarence Clemens from Springsteen, from E Street Band. I mean, I'm a huge Bruce fan.
Okay, but who was Joan of Arc? That's correct.
Oh, Jane Wheedlin from the Go-Go's.
Yes, but your name is similar to that.
So just for the audience, since they're not going to be able to see this, so we have the princesses from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, a 1989 movie, which really I think was the launch point for Keanu Reeves, really.
Yeah.
He had been in Youngblood.
Right, as yeah. Heaver mm-hmm. in Youngblood.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Oh,
my gosh. Yeah. that's pretty good.
Yeah, so, you know, he got started in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, and I forget the other actor only did another Bill and Ted's, who right. was
Winters,
right?
Yeah. Alex directs a lot.
He's also in Lost Boys, too, by
the way. Yeah, he's really good.
That's right, he was great.
Yeah. He was great in that.
And he was in Mary Shelley's Frankenstein,
yes.
too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he did a lot.
And so this movie was an iconic movie of the 80s. And a lot of our listeners are in their 20s and 30s. So that's why it was interesting to do an 80s movie night. Because if they're going to listen to Jason quote 80s movies every week, then we had to bring it home for them. So we're going to go through some 80s trivia pretty hardcore.
Also, don't forget George Carlin was in that.
Yep.
I mean, a legend.
Of course, late George Carlin.
Yeah, yeah. I met him once at Whole Foods in Brentwood. He was such a nice guy.
It's shocking. He was, you know, you think he's going to be really loud-mouthed or obscene, and he just is, pleasure to meet you, nice to meet you. And you're so shocked, George. I mean, I hear that everyone in the cast, when you listen to, the special features of Bill and Ted's on, on the Blu-ray, the director and Ed Solomon talk about him being just completely genteel.
He was nice. Cool.
When we did the reshoots for Bill and Ted's, it's a different ending than what we originally shot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And we weren't originally in the band. We were originally their dates for
Wild
the prom.
Wild Stallions.
Yep, we went to the prom.
That's right. I was the drummer. Yeah, I just found some gifts, by the way, on the Apple iTunes. I was so excited.
Oh, really?
Yes.
No way.
Yes.
Wild Stallions. That was the band.
Spelled with a Y.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
It's all coming back to you, right?
Yeah.
It's my character, I'm just going to go and say it. My character was Princess Joanna. But here's the funny part. That's because they got the credits mixed up. And Ed Solomon, the director, actually wanted me to have her character's name.
My character was called Elizabeth.
Yes, that's right.
So in the credits, it's mixed up. And then when I talked to Ed, in the next Bill and Ted's, my character's Elizabeth and hers is Joanna. So So who knows what it'll be in the third one. We'll see what happens. Right?
And there is a third one,
There's a third one coming from what I heard.
Yeah. Supposed to be shooting in March.
Did you guys get the tap for that? Or is it just, they got a whole different thing going on there?
I got an interesting Twitter message from Ed Solomon, but I'm not quite sure what it means. I'll see you soon.
Wow.
Ooh.
I don't know. That's because I have his bike in my garage.
It might be. He might need his bicycle back. Or maybe you guys are on, Who knows?
I don't know. It would be really fun. I kind of have a little idea of what the plot points are, the story is, and it's really funny.
That's cool.
I think it's very funny. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it brings it home for a lot of people, and it brings in the younger generation too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be fun.
Yeah. And my niece, she's in a band, Girlpool, and one of her first jobs, she told somebody I was in Bill and Ted's, and the guy was so impressed and so loving it that he hired her right away.
That's funny.
That's got some clout.
You can use it. I've never really used it, but
it doesn't get you
helps my family great.
Yeah, it doesn't get you reservations at a restaurant. I don't know if it does.
No, but you're like, I was a princess in Bill and Ted's. Maybe you can act like a princess around here, but that's not it.
Well, got you guys on the Dr. Hockey podcast.
Yes.
So that's a big deal.
Yes, it is.
That is a huge, huge deal for the Bill and Ted's.
And hockey fans are the most loyal, the best fans, so passionate. I mean, hockey is like the most intense sport.
I actually love watching hockey live. That's one of
the
sports. I mean, I know that, there's a lot of sports, but when you go to a hockey game and you watch it live, there's the energy and it just seems, it's just fun. I mean, I haven't gone to a lot of them, but it's one of the sports I love to go and watch. I think it's great. I'm from Long Island, so.
Well, then you're not going to be an Islanders fan.
Right, the Islanders, yep. So,
well, and the guy that started this podcast off with me was Kevin Connolly, and he's the biggest, biggest Islander fan of them all.
Yes.
So, and you guys will, because you've been on the podcast, you will be invited to the Big Mastro's dinner because I lost a huge bet to Kevin. And he just rang in tonight and said he's on for the Mastro's dinner. So you guys will be on the roster now.
Excellent.
So that'll be huge.
What did you just say?
There you go. But yeah, the island is, I mean, you were growing up then when they won 4 Stanley Cups.
Yes, it didn't seem that unusual to win a Stanley Cup. It's kind of funny that that is the time where it was the home of Hockey there, right there. It's
big time.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was huge. I mean, that was the time for the Islanders. Everybody was an Islander fan. If you were in the tri-state area, like, they were nuts over the Isles.
And also, I remember, like, kids in high school, like go being hockey players. Like, that was a thing. Like, you just went and did hockey. And it wasn't unusual.
I played hockey when I was...
Did you really? Yes. Wow.
I did. I didn't have much to do. I grew up in the Northwest, in Idaho and Montana, and the ponds froze over, and what do? We played hockey, had hot chocolate afterwards, and some chili, and it was like the best day ever.
Oh, sister, I wish I was there. Yes. Those were the days, right?
It was. It was so fun.
That sounds so much fun.
Well, so what are you guys up to now? I mean, Diane, what are you doing as of late? I mean, you were in a ton of 80s movies. We will get to that for sure.
All right. Okay, so, good. I'm waiting to
my head, I got a whole bunch of questions.
Okay, good.
It's like you're just so quiet.
Jason's speechless right now. He's sitting here like having like a rough moment, just like, I'm not sure that this is actually happening. It is, Jason. Don't worry.
Well, I have to say, Jason, I'm really impressed because, first of all, when I was acting in the 80s, I didn't do a lot of publicity. So for you to remember me has to mean that I made an impression on you. So thank you. So that's like great. And then I just started acting more recently. And there's, I mean, if you don't know who I am and you're interested, I've written some books and they're on Amazon. Just look up Diane Franklin book because you'll never remember the title. Because the title is, both of them, is The Excellent Adventures of the Last American French Exchange Babe of the 80s.
Okay? Yeah, there you go.
Combined a bunch of titles.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wow. So because I figured who's going to really remember me? Well, if you don't, there you go.
Well, but the French exchange student is like one of my favorite characters of the 80s. My wife and I quote that French fries.
French fries.
Peru.
Peru. It's so great.
It was awesome.
See,
it was so
I actually always quote, I say this. I'm going to Dodgers Stadium.
Dodgers Stadium. Yes. Take me there to the Brooklyn Dodgers.
That's right.
That was, in fact, it's so funny because every year, like after Halloween, people start watching Better Off Dead, and it becomes like a Christmas movie for people. And I love it. It's a love story. It's a comedy. It's so unique. It still is hilarious. It's not that long. So, you know, the new generation doesn't go, oh, my gosh, when is this over? It's just I think it still translates. So you have to tell me. But,
well, there is a Flintstones cartoon in there. They don't know Flintstones.
Yeah, you're right. They're
but Better Off Dead is hilarious. It's very classic.
Thank you. I just love it.
That's where the paperboy wants his $2, right?
If you don't
I want my $2. That is classic.
If you don't know this movie, you got to see it.
Yeah, it is. It's too funny.
I don't like this. I am French. So. This is, my name is Monique.
The International Language of Love.
Yes.
With Ricky.
Do you need language lessons?
She was going to come in with a Slovakian accent and really try to fool you, but we decided not to be too hard on you.
Yeah.
Well, Jason figured it out right
Jason
away.
Jason knew out of the gates.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Jason, your draw was... very quiet.
Yeah. Well, I've always been okay. Well, we'll get into the movies in a minute because I have some questions.
All right.
Okay. Anyway, so Diane, tell them what you're doing now.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I don't even know if you can stand this because it's incredible. Okay, and I've got some cool, interesting news for you. Okay. So here's the deal. I also was in a film called Amityville: The Possession. It was the second big film I did. Last American Virgin was really my big break, and then I got Amityville. And the Amityville story, it's about the Montelli family, and it was based on the DeFeo murders, which actually happened in 1974. A guy named Butch DeFeo, Ronnie DeFeo Jr., killed his entire family,
right.
23 years old, murdered them. So the Amityville Part 2 was a prequel to Amityville Horror, all right? Mm. It was a time when people didn't do sequels. It wasn't happening. It was like we did Amityville 2 and we went, no one's going to see this because they're only just going to go back and watch the original. Why would they watch a sequel? Cut to 2018. Obviously sequels are not, everyone goes see sequels. So after that, like time passes and now last year I get a director named Daniel Ferrans who did the documentary on Amityville murders of the DeFeo family. And he asked me now to come in and play the mother. So now I just finished this and we just had a screening at Screamfest last week. I think, last Tuesday, it opened the film festival. It was so good. The place was packed. It was sold out. And what happened was because of that, it did so well and it was so well received that they're actually holding the movie now, I think, until
like February or March, and they're going to release it in theaters.
Nice.
So
wow.
I'm so excited.
Congratulations.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
That's
I'm like,
awesome.
Oh my gosh. So
good timing too for Halloween and everything.
Well, you know, the other thing is it came out now, but it's not so much of a horror film as it, that's why it's kind of good they're waiting. I mean, it's great for it to come out at Screamfest, but it's based on the true story. So if you're looking for, you know, heads falling off and eyeballs rolling out of your head, no, that's not going to happen because that didn't really happen there.
Right.
But in our story, oh my gosh, the character dynamics, and I have to say, beyond anything, best acting of my career.
Wow.
Best acting, best role. So all I can say is if you
that's
don't
really
know
great.
The film,
yeah.
I know that at some point I'll be going to like these movie shows where there'll be like Amityville 2 and the Amityville Murders coming up. So it'll be interesting to see my future at this.
I think those movies are far more scary than the like the heads rolling and the eyes going all that. I think that the real based off real
stories,
those terrify me.
Yeah.
I'm producing now, and I produced a horror film called Babysitter Wanted. That was kind of bloody, and we did go to the festivals, and it was well received. But
right.
Yeah, so that's what I'm doing now, Jay.
Yeah,
Jason,
I just produced a World War II drama. That Lionsgate's releasing called Airstrike with Bruce Willis. And
oh, cool.
I learned a tremendous amount about World War II, what I had no idea.
I'm a huge World War II buff. Aficionado and plane aficionado.
You're
going to
love that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, this was all about when takes place in China. And
the Flying Tigers?
No, actually the bombing of Chongqing that happened, you know, the 6-year, 10-month bombing of China. And it was the last holdout before China would have fallen to Japan. So, and the U.S. was doing a lot of work. This is before Pearl Harbor to help the Chinese. So, is it really interesting?
Those guys were the Flying Tigers. Were the Air Corps that helped out, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I think Bruce Willis was playing that, but they didn't exactly say that in there. But anyway, it was a really interesting time of history. And then now I'm also for my new projects. I just finished that one. I am producing Diane's daughter's new film.
No way.
Yeah. So I just optioned that. And it's a comedy that she wrote and she's directing.
Cool.
And she's incredibly talented, hilarious, beautiful. And Diane's going to be in the movie as well. So it's really exciting. So we just brought it full, you know, we've brought it back to like us working together all over again in completely different ways. So I'm really happy to be working with the two most beautiful princesses.
And princesses unite. Right.
Well, that is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys have clearly evolved your careers into, you know, just the full compass, the full scope of doing everything in the films. And you're still acting.
Yeah.
Are you doing any acting at all, Kimberly?
Not on purpose.
So you're accidentally acting.
Accidentally, sometimes I've been in like some like shows that I've been like doing reality type things, and I end up in the show, but. I think I'm a better actress now than I was when I was younger because I don't really care. I'm just like trying to serve the story or just not worried about all the thousands of other things that I was totally insecure about. I just am trying to get the job done, and it's I don't know, my brain's changed. You probably know about that.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, we all, you know, as we I think as you learn more, you know, acting is such an interesting career to me because it's really about communication.
Mm-hmm.
And so watching people become better communicators, they obviously, as you get older and more astute and sort of dialed into what's your thing, then, you know, your acting ability should, of course, evolve. I mean, if you get outside yourself and really make it happen for the show. Not for your performance per se, but how it fits into the team, into the scheme of the whole production. And I think that's, you see that with you know, especially people that are really, you know, staying in it over the long haul. They just get better and better to watch, and it's really fun.
Yeah, you have to push yourself, you know, like anything. You have to evolve, and you have to learn from it. Hopefully, you learn from it. And I feel like that's happened, and Diane and I have evolved into having our own little baby together now.
Yeah, really, seriously, I mean, I just think if you asked me if this was going to be a happening where we were going to work together, and so I could not imagine that to be happening, and I'm just so – it's like a gift. I mean, there's so many levels right now of my life that, you know, having, you know, my own career and then my daughter's career and then Kim and I working together. And then, in fact, on top of it all, gets even crazier, her – niece who's in Girlpool, my son opened for her niece in Chicago strangely
in
no
a band.
Way
my yes son it was
plays,
just random
yeah
totally random
my son plays
and Alex Winter's son is going to school there and actually came to the show, so all of our children were there, our
Yeah.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. My son's in a band called Swatches and in Chicago, and then Girlpool was opening, and he went and played, and then Alex's son came to watch. It's just, how crazy is that?
That is totally insane.
We as parents go, what is happening?
Well, you know, my kids are getting into the whole acting thing now, too. I mean, my son was just in a play at his high school, and he, you know, he's a freshman, and he auditioned, got into the play, and you know, sort of disappointed he wasn't the lead role. I was like, that's kind of for the seniors, Bo. Like, give it
right,
some time.
Right, I know, right? It's
you know,
hard.
It'll take some time. But, you know, he loves it. And, you know, my daughter's, you know, did a Nickelodeon episode and with Henry Danger or something
my
like that.
My daughter did that, too, and Henry Danger won. Oh, my gosh. We could probably watch the series now.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
That's fun.
And they just love it. But they love it from the I don't think – like, they're just not, like, things kids. They're not stuff kids. They're not money kids. They're very much into, like – they love performing.
Experience.
Mm-hmm. It's really cool.
Acting, the creativity and just, I mean,
it's fun to watch.
It's so fun. And that's like, that's
cool.
I just think it's great that you're supportive because that's what it's about.
Well, they love it. It's really fun to see them kind of come out of their shell to do this stuff. And, you know, they sort of see me doing this hockey puck. You know, I'm a plastic surgeon, in case you didn't know.
I know. She was telling me and I was like, a hockey puck?
Yeah. Well, I love hockey, like a lot.
Which is great.
You played hockey, right?
I did. Yeah, I played in high school, and I, you know, I played way more street than ice because it was hard for us to get to the rink, and it was far away. So we played street hockey literally every weekend for probably 10 years straight, and I played ice hockey whenever I could, but it was a lot bigger deal.
And where are you from originally?
From New Jersey.
Oh, that's where my husband's from.
Yeah. Where about?
He's from Margate near Ocean City.
Beautiful.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's where he's from, right? Cool.
Yep. I grew up in Short Hills, right by the mall.
Love New Jersey guys.
The Short Hills Mall. Right, right? You know, I'm sure you've been there.
Yes, I have. I remember it's beautiful, right?
It's nice there. I like Short Hills. It was great.
Yeah, yeah.
But I loved hockey. I grew up, you know, going to Ranger games and going to Devils games. And so we didn't get out to Nassau Coliseum too often, but I did get out to some Islanders games because I was like a nut of a fan as a kid. And, you know, it's always carried through. And now, we do this podcast every week. Jason and I get together. And now on Fridays, we've added there's a guy who used to be in the NHL named Sean Pronger who joins us on Fridays. And we just talk about hockey. We love it. It's really fun. But we got 80s movie quotes, so we had to give Jason like a whole big episode to see what his 80s movie knowledge is.
Well, Jason, I'm excited. Yeah. We got to let Jason.
Well, the best
talk.
Thing is that, you know, if I see a movie that's on now that I remember from the 80s, I'll watch it now and I'll still remember all the lines, all the scenes, and all the everything about it. And I used to watch all the credits to make sure who was, you know, this person, that person. And,
wow.
Yeah,
so just to let you guys know that his level of knowledge, he identified that it was Jeff Garlin who played an uncredited character in the movie Spring Break named Gut-Gut.
What?
Wow, nice.
Is that correct? Did I say that right?
Yes, yes. And he was in the belly flop contest in the beginning.
Jason, what do you do on Tuesday nights normally?
Here. I'm here.
Always here? Okay, because there's a trivia quiz at the British pub and I keep getting second or third place.
You think he might take it?
I think he could be secret ingredient for my team to win.
I also have so much useless information about the Brady Bunch in my head. That's a whole other topic.
Oh my gosh. Marsha Brady lives near where I live, so
really?
It's kind of funny. And so does Wayne Gretzky, so you guys got to come out to the
two of my favorite things, hockey and Brady Bunch.
There you go. Yeah, done. Yeah. You've got Jason's attention. Down, He'll be right out.
Is it true that Wayne Gretzky really brought hockey to Los Angeles, like really made it something?
Yes. Yeah. Hmm. Until they forgot 100%. About it.
100%.
Became fans again in 2012, but that's a different story.
Gretzky was the guy that really brought that home for everybody. Mm-hmm. So we want to get to some questions for Jason.
Do
so do you guys have some 80s movie trivia?
Well, I'm afraid that he's going to know everything.
So wait, we're trying to stump you?
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
You got.
But you get to ask questions too. So
yeah. Do you have any questions for the princesses?
Yeah.
Okay, so Diane, the list is – okay, so why – it's always bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it, number one, in Last American Virgin, did Lawrence Monson's character bring a bag of oranges after you had the abortion? What was the bag of oranges for? I don't understand. My friends and I have talked about it for years. What significance did – why a bag of oranges?
I don't know.
Do you remember that?
And there you have it.
And there's the answer to that question. You know, I have to be very honest. When I shot that scene, I didn't know why he brought it too. I can only
say, did you have a vitamin C deficiency?
I can only say that there was a it's a premonition or precursor to Monique throwing lemons or oranges.
Right, there was lemons.
Lemons in the other one. But you know, the only thing I was thinking was it's a California, it's a Christmas tree, and it's California Christmas, and it was sort of. I also felt like, why are you doing this? But
oranges are good luck in some cultures.
Maybe
aren't they?
That was. I don't know. I know that there's a purpose, and I think that question has to really go to Boaz Davidson, the director, because he's the one who gave him that direction. So that's a mystery that there probably is a fan somewhere. If you do know, can you let us know why?
Because maybe we could get that over Twitter.
Yeah, let's make that happen.
We could pop that out.
Right.
That'd be good.
That'd be a great Twitter question.
Why the oranges in
Last American Version?
It's been a mystery for 30 plus years.
I'm sorry I couldn't make that come through for you.
All right, now,
all this time has passed, and I should just text Boaz and say, what's happening?
Yeah. All right, we'll get the answer for you.
I have an 80s question for you. Okay. Frank Sinatra was originally offered the lead role in which 80s movie? Die Hard, Lethal Weapon, The Terminator, or Cocktail?
Frank Sinatra? No way.
The lead role? What were the movies again?
Die Hard.
Die Hard, Lethal Weapon,
I think it was Die Hard.
Come out to the coast. We'll get together. Have a few laughs.
That is correct.
Yeah.
I
think I heard that somewhere. I remember that.
Do you know why?
Why?
I don't know why.
Because it was technically a sequel to his 1968 movie, The Detective, and Frank Sinatra was contractually required to be offered Die Hard first.
Wow. Oh, my God. But he did not take it.
That
would have been a very different movie with Frank Sinatra.
Very different. Could you imagine the running?
Yippee-ki-yay.
He would not have been...
That would have been good.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Or would he have been the criminal? Would he have been Hans Gruber?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he could have been Hans Gruber.
He could have been
that.
That would have been he would have been good bad guy.
Yeah, it would have been different.
But a very so Jersey
different.
Feel. They would have had to set it in Newark.
Right.
Or Atlantic City.
Not Central City.
Okay, so that
we're
was a good one, right?
We're holding up here in Trump Tower.
Who wrote these questions? I'm just curious.
Okay, this was from my friend, Sandra Benetti, who runs Trivia Quiz, which is going right now at the...
Because you know, I also...
The Cat and the Fiddle.
I also was on Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Really?
You were on that?
Yeah, and I tried bringing it up to them. Nobody cared about it when I sent you the link.
I watched it. You did good.
We had to pay for it. It was asking us to pay $5, but I didn't want to see it.
We can watch
were
it.
Were you smarter than a fifth grader?
I wasn't, but I did pretty well.
Wow.
You did pretty well.
The question was actually was poorly written. I'm going to go on record as saying that. I do not agree with the answer to that question.
So wait, Jason, because I know that there are many people right now that listen to this podcast that are going to hit me up tomorrow night when I go to the Honda Center.
Yes.
What is the link for the link,
you go to iTunes. It's like $2. I have nothing to make on it. Trust me.
Well, but they need to get it on iTunes Jason Berkley.
Yes.
On Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Yes.
They will do that.
Yes.
All right. We'll put it up on the at Dr. Hockey podcast, Instagram and the Facebook and et cetera.
Ladies, are you on social media?
Yes. Oh, yes. Diane on Twitter, it's Diane Franklin 80. On Instagram, it's actress Diane Franklin. And on Facebook, you got to go to Diane Franklin Group. You'll see like a black and white picture for my books because my other Facebook is full. But the other one, if it's Diane Franklin, I think fans is me. And like, so it's just like my Facebook, but it's just call it fans just because they won't let me have another Facebook. You know how they do? I don't know.
Yeah.
You're so popular.
How did Monique know how to fix a Camaro?
Well, that is because she's smart.
That's true.
But, it's an American car. Maybe that's the problem. You know, she could have been like a French car.
And the guy that played Ricky was in Head of the Class.
Yes.
I can't remember his name. I'm blanking on his name right now.
Dan Schneider.
Yes.
And Dan Schneider... basically, after Better Off Dead, ran Nickelodeon. He's the one in charge of. Well, you, what am I saying? You probably know.
Right.
Zoe 101. The iCarly. All those shows.
Really?
And then were his.
Wow.
That was just.
Does he need another actor? I'll introduce him to my daughter.
Well, you know what? The show that you Rodney Ronnie Danger.
Henry Danger.
Henry Danger. Danger.
I always call it like Henry Danger.
No respect here.
Hey, it's Rodney Danger.
I know, Rodney. Every time I bring that up, I'm like, wait, which Danger is it? But that show is run by Dan also.
No way.
So yeah, so maybe your daughter even knows him.
I don't know.
I have a Twitter
anybody.
Account, by the way.
It's yeah,
Kimberly
please.
Kates, Kimberly with an L-E-Y. K-A-T-E-S.
Are you on Instagram?
I am. Yes, Kimberly Kates _. In between Kimberly and Kates. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm on Facebook, but yeah.
Yeah, we mostly...
I don't do much with social media.
No, we mostly have our stuff on Instagram, and then we have the our YouTube account, because people... Mm-hmm. I mean, people download the podcast at the iTunes, and you can download at the Dr. Hockey podcast on iTunes, on Google Play, and then it's also on the Podcast One app. They have their own app for all the Podcast One. There's a ton of... They do just
them.
A ton of them. So, yeah, I mean, we've...
Let's get some more questions here.
Oh, wait. Okay. I have one more thing I have to add. And I have a YouTube channel called Live and Die in L.A., which is about my daughter Olivia and me, Die, Live and Die in L.A.
Oh, that's
so
good.
If anybody wants to see it, that's also on... We have a YouTube channel.
It's really funny.
So yeah. It's just very casual.
Did you name her Live just to do that channel? Was
yes, exactly. Actually, it was really funny because, of course, like her name is Olivia, but what does her nickname... Her nickname... We thought, oh, she'll live her life. It'll be great. And her nickname is Ya. So there you go. It just didn't even help. It was like, what? What's your nickname?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Okay. Hey, yeah. Come over here.
Diane, do you want to ask him a question?
All right. Here's my question.
Wait.
Okay.
These are good ones.
There's no way you're going to know this. Okay. So I'm just going to put it out there, but it is an interesting question. Who was the actress who was originally cast to play the role of Costanza in Amadeus, but could not because she broke her leg?
I don't know. Was it one of you here? I'm assuming.
No, but I was. It was almost me. But it was because of this incident.
I actually never saw Amadeus. It looked kind of too a little.
Oh, it's great.
Well,
yeah,
it looked too intellectual for me at the time.
Oh,
I was
interesting.
I was like, what, 13?
Yeah. That's not a good one for Jason.
No,
it wouldn't. Wouldn't
if there wasn't explosions, karate, or nudity, I didn't watch it.
Right,
yeah,
right. Exactly. Well, and then and good for you. There's a lot of people who felt the same way.
And I still have those three rules. So
you've evolved.
Not evolved.
Not at all.
But. It was actually between the girl who got it, Elizabeth Berridge, and myself for the role of Amadeus.
Wow.
And if I had gotten that film, I probably wouldn't have done Better Off Dead. So I'm
really
glad I did it.
You probably wouldn't
have
done Bill and Ted's.
Right, exactly. No, it would have been like A-list one, that was it. And I'd do some very more sophisticated things.
Better Off Dead's way better.
Yeah, it is better.
Much more fun.
Oh, forget it. Everything worked out. But the actress who I'm talking about is Meg Tilly.
No way.
Oh, wow.
And
she broke her leg?
How did she break her leg?
Oh, that's awful.
I think it was just doing some kind of sport, like soccer, like something very minor. I'm not even sure. It wasn't. Yeah, dang, it should have been hockey.
Well, Justin Schultz broke his leg this week, and he's out for a very long time, and it hurt my Penguins very badly.
Oh,
just to correlate that, to bring it home for people.
Seriously, come on.
Yeah, that could wreck your season. So Meg Tilly was down for the count.
Yeah, like, come on, people.
What year was that? Because there was a period she was, like, out of the action.
83? Or say 80.
She was pretty young then, too.
Yeah.
What, they didn't have casts back with Amadeus? Come on.
Yeah.
No casts.
Well, they were.
It was a leather hide of an animal. It was
external fixator in, like, 1622.
You'd think with those big dresses, they could have hid the cast under it. I don't know, that was, but it was, they were in the middle of shooting, and then they had to replace the parts, so I thought that was a good question. Yeah. Okay, your turn.
Okay.
Go, sister.
Okay, all right. Tim Burton revealed in the book Burton on Burton that Warner Brothers wanted to call his 80s movie Beetlejuice. Okay, sorry, I didn't read that very well. His 80s movie, Beetlejuice, what instead? Ghost Bastards, Son of a Witch, Scared Sheetless, or Poltergeist?
Oh, those are great titles.
Those are great titles.
those are great titles.
What was the second one again?
Okay.
Say them all because they're
really good.
Ghost Bastards, Son of a Witch.
Son of a Witch, I think is what it was.
You knew that?
Blank.
Oh.
No, sorry. Scared. Bing. Scared Sheetless.
Oh, because of the sheetless. Okay, yeah.
Okay.
But that was a great.
They're doing another Beetlejuice, by the way.
No, really?
Yeah.
With Michael Keaton. Wow.
I've always loved him as a comedian. Mr. Mom is a phenomenal movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's the only Batman. By the way, the best Batman.
He's the best. Michael Keaton was.
He is Batman.
Yeah.
He is great.
Nobody else is Batman.
I know. I totally agree.
I don't know. I love Christian Bale.
Yeah, Christian Bale did a good Batman too.
I love him as Batman.
But whatever happened? When I'm thinking, I wonder if Winona Ryder will do. She's on
for it. That's what I was. I read. Yeah.
Nice. Oh,
yeah.
You're all coming back.
She's had a good. Oh. She's had a good comeback with Stranger Things. Oh yeah, she's
great.
Fantastic.
Yeah. She's fabulous in that.
Yeah, my kids love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Such a great show. Okay, Diane, you turn.
Oh, my turn. All right. Let's see. What can we do here?
If something, go down that way really fast. If something gets in your way, turn.
I'll give you something that you'll know, okay? Complete this quote. Gee, Ricky, I'm sorry.
Your mom blew up.
Yes.
Yeah. I actually referred to it earlier, but yes.
You knew it.
Okay, you'll know this. Okay, I know you'll know this one,
too. This tastes like the hooch that Ricky's dad used to make.
Okay, what was the name of the karate dojo featured in the original The Karate Kid?
Cobra Kai.
He lives this.
Yeah.
So easy for him.
All right.
We had Brett Ernst, a comedian in here, who's in the remake that's on
– No, it's a series.
It's a series based off of it on YouTube Premium. And Jason knew everything about it. He was like, oh, Brett Ernst, yeah, he's in Cobra Kai.
And it was fantastic, by the way, too.
Yeah, it was a great
really
show.
Was good.
By the way, a nice little side thing. I was – it was between Elizabeth Shue and myself and one other girl for the role of Karate Kid. So I almost got it.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, there you go. Some fun little side trivia. You know, right
Elizabeth Shue from Maplewood, New Jersey.
Yes. I love – who, by the way, when I was acting, I always knew her as Lisa Shue. So when this Elizabeth thing came up, I went, what? Who?
Who's that?
Was that? And then, you know.
And, of course, Andy Shue is like an all-star state soccer player in New Jersey.
I didn't even think about
it. He was one of the top guys. Yeah, I mean, they kill us when they play.
Soccer, though.
Yeah, no, but they're good. It's true.
Not talking.
But, you know, we didn't really whine and cry the way that these guys do. But, you know, it's okay. I've already said that my children can't watch professional soccer. It's just not good for them to see that.
Right.
Did you ride in the actual Camaro that they had there when they had it all fixed up?
Yes.
You know, there's a story behind that Camaro.
Tell me, because I mean, I know people have had the Camaro, or I've heard it's moved around, or it's in Florida now or something.
I fell in love with it. That's why I fell in love with the Camaro. And it was taken from the movie set, and actually it was decrepit and fell apart. A guy was able to track it down by the serial numbers and fixed it up back to its original movie condition.
Oh, wow.
So it's actually, I read about it online. So,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, see, that's love, right?
Yeah.
Well, you're going to be happy to know that I'm actually doing I have a second book called The Excellent Curls of the Last American French Exchange Babe of the 80s. But I also am doing a third book, and it's going to be called The Excellent Coat of the Last American French Exchange Babe of the 80s, because it's going to be an ode to Better Off Dead. And I have the coat from Better Off Dead. Not the pink – that was a pink ski jacket.
Yeah.
The big coat, the big oversized coat. I bring it to conventions, and then anytime someone's at a convention, they can wear it, and we take pictures with
it. That's great.
So anybody who has a picture with the coat, I'm having them send it to me, and they're going to be in this book, which is great.
That's awesome.
So, and it's going to be like, you know, it'll be everybody will get a chapter, and it'll be going back and then talk about the lines, and, you know, if fans have, you know, things to say they want to say. So I'm looking to put that out maybe in 2020, but it is – it's going to be great. And Savage Steve Holland is on to write the foreword and some more stuff.
There you go.
So, yeah.
Oh, Monique, there you are.
Great. Right.
Mother was starting to worry.
Oh.
You shouldn't let mother worry.
Sounds just like Ricky there. Very nice. So we have to get you in the coat. And I have some conventions coming up. I want to just put that out real fast. I've just came through. So, I mean, I'm going to announce these on, you know, Twitter and all that stuff. But I have a convention at the Hollywood Show on February 3rd and 4th, I think that weekend, in New Jersey, Atlantic City, at I think it's New Jersey HorrorCon. I think, I mean, knock on wood, the doll goes through and everything. Maybe I'm speaking ahead. And then there's a convention in Ohio at the end of May. And I forgot the name right now. But anyway, so at least it's going to be out there. So if you haven't worn the coat, come on out there. And
the coat is important.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a key part of that film.
So you come on in February, because it'll be here in L.A. So.
At first you said to wear the coat. I'm like, I couldn't fit in that little pink coat with the white hat.
That would be really
great. But the giant coat, you can.
Yes.
You'd be surprised how many people have fit in that coat. People were like, no. I'm like, oh, yes, you can. Right.
Now, when you guys got together to be the princesses, did you know each other, or were you just cast and then you met then and that's it?
We were cast and then we met.
Yeah.
And then we did our first stuff in Arizona in Arizona, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mesa. Mesa, Arizona is where we shot.
Oh, I didn't know it was – I forgot.
It was
really?
Yeah, and we shot the prom scene there, because that was the original ending. And that's where they shot a lot of the film. That was doubling for San Dimas.
Right. Well, and, I mean, San Dimas, home of Wild Stallions.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a,
okay,
which is a real place
San Dimas,
for our listeners.
What is it? San Dimas Football Rules?
Yes. San Dimas Football Rules. If we had done that, if that was the ending of the film, there would have – this is what would have happened. When you saw Bill and Ted's, what they did is they cut their tux at the knee and wore high top black sneakers.
They had shorts.
And they were – it was basically shorts. And it would have become a thing. People would
totally.
Have from then on gone to the prom with shorts. I mean, it was amazing.
No question.
I didn't go to the prom, but that's okay. That's a
you would have
story.
Found a way to wear this outfit.
And I got expelled from last week of school. It's a long story.
Oh, dang.
Whoa, that sounds like a good story.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to hear that.
Yeah, we do. All right, Jason, let's hear it. Okay.
We've already got the smarter than the fifth grader thing that people are downloading. No. Now we want to find out why you didn't get to go to
the
prom.
Too much of the curtain being pulled back on me.
All right, good.
That's it. We'll tell you
okay,
off
later. Okay, okay. Okay, Jason, I have another one.
Yep.
Okay, let's see. Right up your alley, I think, with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Nice.
Which Jean-Claude Van Damme action film takes place during the seventh game of the Stanley Cup Finals?
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, God. Oh.
That's a great
and
question.
I remember the movie, too. Oh, God.
Hmm.
I'm going to hit myself for not knowing this. Kalisa loves Jean-Claude.
Of course.
Yeah. Who
you
didn't?
You go, sister.
And this was filmed during the lockout.
Something penalty? I can't remember exactly.
And it's hockey related? Got him.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember this one.
Not an 80s movie, though.
Yeah. Is it not an 80s movie?
I don't know. I don't know. It's called Sudden Death.
Sudden Death. Right. It was, I think, 1992 or 91.
It was during the lockout, and they didn't know what to do. So they filmed it in Pittsburgh in the igloo, in the old Civic Arena. Because I know because a lot of my friends were extras.
It was 91, 92, wasn't it?
No, it says it was 95. Came out in 95.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was during
sorry.
The, yeah, but
sorry,
it was during, but that's okay.
Generation.
It's a great hockey film.
It was more of a hockey question.
Wow.
That was perfect. It definitely fits on the hockey podcast.
I kept thinking that's Cyborg, and I'm like, no, it wasn't Cyborg.
But. And here's another trivia question that goes in the movie. What job did Jean-Claude Van Damme have that his kids like looked down on him for very clearly in the movie, which was, I thought, horrible.
I haven't seen it. Was it Road to Zamboni?
You didn't see it?
I haven't seen it
No,
in
he's
years.
A fireman. And he would go around and change light bulbs because they were fire hazards. And his kids were like, I can't believe our dad has to change the light bulbs. But he was like the fire marshal. And he like totally.
God.
And then his kids like came to really dig him because he wound up
playing
goal.
I saw parts of the movie.
It was cool. Yeah,
that storyline wouldn't go now.
It would
right?
not. No, it was awful. You know, they really like it was. It was. I don't know who wrote it, but it wasn't my favorite. But they did use the igloo. I think they killed Iceberg, the mascot in that film too. So there's a lot of people that don't like the Penguins who would really love to see Iceberg, the mascot, go down.
This is your
film to see.
Is that right?
Could take excerpts from it. Yeah, because they had to off Iceberg to like carry out their plan to like blow up the place.
Oh,
or something.
No. Poor Iceberg.
So Iceberg took one. It was not good.
I have to ask you a question. And when Last American Virgin, because I heard they're remaking the movie.
What?
Now, I really hope that's wrong because they've tried to remake movies. Like they remade Bad News Bears.
Yep.
And I'm sorry. It was awful. Terrible.
I understand.
I'm a purist.
Yeah, no, I mean Bad News Bears was a classic.
Classic.
That was,
I mean,
Walter Matthau cannot
it was
read
so
that.
Pretty.
No, I'm talking.
You can't believe it.
Yeah, just, I mean, I'm talking about, you know, when he just Tanner Boyle and Toby. The rest, the guy, Crud, no, I'm going to play baseball. I mean, just lines like that were classic Americana.
Yeah.
But then they changed it, and they didn't even use Chico's Bail Bonds as the sponsor. It was different. So I hope they don't remake it. But the movie was great, and the whole crab scene was great.
I know, right?
You know,
well,
it was...
I have a real theory about Last American Virgin, and that is that it was actually it's a great film. It's sort of like sex education for guys.
Yes.
That if you didn't have it sell it as a sex comedy, no guy would see it. But what happens is you get in there, and you not only learn about sex, but you also learn about love. And so if it was
– And betrayal.
It was done, and betrayal. So what happens is you go into this movie, and you're thinking, I'm going to see an American – a Last American Virgin. You're going to see an American movie, so there's going to be a happy ending. But this movie was made by the Israeli, you know, company.
Boaz Davidson.
He
works at New Image and Millennium. I didn't realize that's the director.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I know him.
He's the writer-director, and it was based on his life story. So what happened
is – who was Carmella?
I don't know, but somebody in his life, right?
Yep.
But this everything that happened in that film happened to him, and it is actually a remake of Lemon Popsicle, which you probably know, an Israeli film. So what happens is this, as an Israeli film, it was hugely popular. Then they make it into an American film and has the word American in it, and so everyone's expecting this happy ending, and then is blown are blown away because it's not. So I think there's a that film is like a it's like a time capsule of 80s.
Yes.
Of everything 80s. If you don't know what the 80s are, that film is subject matter 80s.
Yep.
The music, the style, and also I have to say, I am the first actress with curly hair that kickstarted the 80s curly hair perms from that film.
That's great.
Nobody had curly hair until that film.
So I have you to blame for those perms.
I'm sorry. So if you had a perm, it was my fault. Sorry.
There you have it.
That was the end.
What was the best thing about it was also the fact that growing up in that era, there were no cell phones.
Oh, yeah.
You
right.
went to your friend's house. You called your friends. You, had, mm-hmm. you talked to your friends and
You hung out
with your friends.
You got to be bored with your friends. That's a thing. Like, you actually didn't, like, you looked in each other's eyes and hung out or, like, did something or
right.
thought of things to do.
It seems really energetic. The 80s, like, for me, was just, like, an energetic
it was.
Time. And I was listening to 80s music on the way here to like, try to, like, remember. And it's, like, it's just, it's such a happy time. I mean, it's just something about
the music was
80s
incredible.
It was fun.
The music was crazy.
I subscribed to, like, Sports Illustrated and the hockey news and sporting news to get my news from... From there, not just from some internet. It was.
Right. Yeah.
It was. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But. Next month, I'm actually going to be going to a thing called 80s in the Sand, which, in case you don't know about, and if you are an 80s fan, you're going to go crazy because they do this every year and they bring all these 80s bands and 80s actors together in the Dominican Republic, Punta Cana, and this place called Breathless Resort. And it's incredible. It's a week long. Every night there's concerts and it's you get to talk to everybody, meet everyone.
That's cool.
There's a lot of actors
so
from the 80s
great.
That show up. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Last year, Amanda Wiss and Curtis Armstrong came with me, and then
I love Curtis.
Oh my gosh,
I love him.
Right?
He was one of my Detroit brothers.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Another Detroit guy.
Yeah,
isn't he the best?
He did a Werner's commercial. Werner's is a ginger ale type of a drink that we call it pop. Sorry, it's pop.
Uh-huh.
It's not soda. It's pop. But he did. I remember he did a Werner's commercial for it. Yeah. Okay. Well, just don't start with me.
That's
about
a Michigan thing. All in.
Don't get me about that. But he was. I mean, he's. Great as Booger. I mean, he's
amazing,
just
right?
a very talented actor.
And he just came out with a book, too, so people should know he's got a book out there. So
yeah. A little hockey thing Diane and I did, well, in the Honda Center. That's where the Anaheim Ducks play.
Yes!
This
right.
year, we got to introduce Salt and Pepper.
Yes!
For 80s band.
No way.
Yeah, it was so
fun.
As the
princesses.
It was, they
oh,
were,
really?
They were fantastic.
Oh,
it was just
like
a great show. We had a blast.
It was so much fun.
The Honda Center was
amazing.
So great. It was just like being in a school gym. It felt like high school all over again.
Yeah.
It is like being in a school gym.
So cool. Yeah. I loved it.
Unfortunately, it's where the Ducks play every night.
Yeah.
It's like in a school gym. And so that's where I complain about it constantly, by the way, just FYI. But it is great for what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was fun. But you could feel that energy, though.
Oh, yeah, it's cooler.
It was just like.
Yeah, there are some big shows that go through there, too. And mm-hmm. it is a good place. I think for music, it's awesome. But they haven't updated it since it got – in 1993 it opened.
Oh.
And that's – like it is – It is a time capsule in and of itself.
Yeah,
so we're hoping that they will update it to like one of these new amazing, like the Little Caesars Arena is sick. They have everything there. I mean, and of course, my wife and I always complain that the cup holders are in the wrong place. So that you are definitely going to spill your beer on your neighbor. Guaranteed. They're right there next to you. So if you just, if you get excited about anything or stand up or whatever, you're wearing a beer for sure.
I want to go into a game right now. You're making me all excited.
We'll get you to a game, then. That's good.
Oh,
I mean, Chris and I, we go all the time.
Oh.
We love it.
Do they ever sing – anybody ever sing the national anthem on those things?
I've done it several times. No.
No, but
Dawn Wright sings at the Honda Center. She's great.
Oh, because I was going to say, I sang the national anthem at Dodger Stadium.
Did you really?
Yes, I did in 2004.
Are you kidding?
I did. So if they wanted me to sing, I'll sing it again.
Wow.
I didn't even know that you sang.
Well, because that was the final scene.
Not easy.
Better Off Dead.
Yeah, I know, right?
Somehow you got the car on the pitcher's mound. I don't know how legally you did that.
I know.
In the characters in the movie. And you,
I know. Isn't that crazy? So, what happened was they did that and then... I don't know, like, since I did that film and they did it at Dodger Stadium and they were, like, doing all these 80s press things and I thought, I wonder if they need, I don't know, if they ever do, like, signings or I don't know, just it was something weird. And I had a manager at the time. He contacted them and they said, they contacted me and said, do you sing? And I'm like, yes, and I trained classically. And then they said, well, do you want to sing the national anthem? And I went, Yes. And then they said, well, we may have you sing the French anthem, the Canadian one. And I'm thinking,
nice. That's a good one.
You know, see? But then I thought, you know, I don't know if I feel comfortable singing the French anthem. It was a weird experience.
Oh, that's
you know
a moment.
I mean? It was a weird moment. I thought, I don't know. It just felt odd. So
would you have to sing it in French?
I would have. You know,
but why did you feel that way? Did you feel unpatriotic?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt somewhat unpatriotic, which is
bizarre. She was an exchange student, okay? Don't you remember?
Je parle plus français, mais je ne parle pas.
That was a movie.
Oui.
In case you... Yes. Just checking to see if it was reality.
Wait, it wasn't a documentary?
No. That was actually a movie.
Dang. All right.
So, but anyway, so
Jason wants that to be real so badly.
Well,
that you're actually a French exchange student.
Also, I got to say, too...
He really does.
The Badger, the brother...
Oh, my gosh.
...was great. How to Pick Up Trashy Women, that book he had.
And The Mailman.
The Mailman.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, The Mailman was... Oh, God.
Taylor Negron,
right. And he played the pizza guy also in Fast Times.
That's right. Pizza dude.
And he played a lot of different character actors. He was a very funny stand-up comedian.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he was. I saw him doing stand-up before.
And Amanda
Wiss. He's not with us anymore.
Yes.
No. Amanda, who was in Nightmare on Elm Street, which was one of my questions.
Yes.
And also Fast Times. Fast Times.
Wait,
she
was in Fast Times.
Yeah, she played the girlfriend of, is it Judd?
Yes.
Thank you for that. You're right. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
right.
Life is so weird, right?
Oh my God! Now talk about another one of my crushes.
Yeah. Right.
Oof.
Yeah. Bring Amanda here. So.
Oh my God.
All the lovely ladies.
Well, Diane and I are proud.
They worked
of
at All American
actress.
Burger together.
Oh, you did?
No, that's where they're. Brad Hamilton.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Worked with his girlfriend at All American Burger, which is now the Coffee Bean on the corner of San Vicente and Barrington. That was actually an All American Burger where they filmed it.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
For real.
Yeah.
I like that. Now that's what I really like. Yeah.
Well, what I did was I tried to pull a quote from every year in the 80s. And I wanted to see if we could get them. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to correlate it with who won the Stanley Cup that year.
Oh, my gosh.
And then just to
Jason,
keep
that's
hockey.
That's all on you, the Stanley Cup.
Well, Jason knows them all.
You go, Dr. J.
I did most of my films in the 90s, by the way.
I know many of the 90s movies.
Yeah, I was in...
But I was in med school at the time. I didn't have as much time to sit there and do nothing.
Right,
you know,
med school, yep.
You know, to watch TV. Although I still remember quite a bit of them.
I did a TV show for ABC called On Our Own with the Smollettes. I did a late 80s. Late 90s, I did some show. I did a movie called Highway with Jared Leto and Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, I remember that movie. Yeah.
And... Yeah, I did. Then I did a movie. I had a great time with Dolly Parton, though, on this. It was a Lifetime movie, but it was called Blue Valley Songbird.
I have no recollection of my life from 1992 through basically 2001.
Because
are you
that's
rolling?
When I,
yes.
That's when
yes.
I, that's
that
when
was,
because of med school.
Yeah, Mark, it was a big blur. And, you know, so I still, though, it always bothered me, though, when Karen went back with Rick in the Last American Virgin.
Yeah.
And I remember watching it and saying, oh, come on, really? You got to... And it soured me on wanting to date even back when I was 12 or 13 years old.
Oh, no.
That was the point.
Wow.
There you go.
Not that I had much of a choice at that at the time.
But
but
you knew what you kind of had, maybe not that much experience, but kind of went, oh, my gosh, does this stuff happen? And if it does, it's not going to happen to me.
Oh, I found out.
it does.
But, yeah, it was because my awkward phase basically started from 1982 through basically last week. So it was kind of a rough period. But these movies that you guys were in, especially the impact it had on guys my age when it came to what to expect, you know, and what you would want, because everybody wanted that. Everybody wanted kind of like, to be the underdog and get the
right.
popular girl. For example, in Better Off Dead, when, Lane gets dumped and he thinks his life is over. And obviously he's suicidal, the whole thing, or quasi-suicidal.
Right.
And then the perfect thing was right under his nose. These were things that were themes in a lot of the 80s movies. And it just, you know, it just permeated. And it kind of affected the way I looked at things for a long time to come.
The thing about Monique, which I loved, was that she was so capable. Like, she was feminine, but also capable.
Independent.
And I think that is a good role model for women and men. Like, people liked her because she would be like, you know, getting him to stop doubting himself and let's go. But I found it interesting that I had to be French in order to do that. You know, it would have been nice as an American girl to be like, hey, come on, Lane, get your act together. Let's move it, you know. But that wasn't that, I don't know, like, I mean, obviously this was based on Savage's life. This happened to Savage. Savage Steve Holland, the director, writer, again, another writer-director who did these films, based on his true life, so...
You did say anyway, kick his ass.
Kick his ass.
Yes.
That was awesome.
Kick his ass.
That was John Cusack. And yeah. Was Jeremy Piven in that one too?
No. Mm-mm. No. But there were a lot of great actors. Vincent Schiavelli was in it playing the teacher. He was hilarious. He played
so funny.
Do you ever talk to Steve Antin anymore from...
You know, I actually am friends with him on Facebook, but I haven't seen him in a long time. I saw Joe Rubo for a while. Like, he came and visited here and... And Kimmy, I'm still friends with. Kimmy Robertson. She was in Twin Peaks, too. They did another Twin Peaks. Kimmy played Rose. She was my friend in Virgin.
Oh, right.
Isn't that crazy? And she's a good friend. Kimmy Robertson, she
blonde.
Is now blonde.
Yes.
And she did. Yeah. She was on the Twin Peaks TV show, and it just picked up.
She had
up
a very
again.
Unique voice, I remember.
Yeah,
that was,
yeah.
Yes.
Just
yes.
Adorable.
She's really small,
yeah.
really
yeah.
cute, really tiny.
Yeah.
Petite.
Do you know her? Do you
yeah.
ever meet her?
I met her with you.
Oh, yes, right. I mean, isn't it like, and we've done some conventions together, too. And
when that guy got yeah. slapped, by the way, in Last American Virgin and knocked his retainer out, look, he really hit him hard.
She hit him hard.
Or she hit him.
Yeah,
sorry,
she
hit him
really
hard.
Hit him
yes.
hard.
Yeah,
yeah, she hit him
knocked
really
his
hard.
Retainer out of his mouth.
Yeah,
I saw, like, in Weird Science, Bill Paxton, like, whacking, what's his name, on the head in Weird Science. I was like, I think he just rapped that guy
yes.
against the door.
And
it was good.
I used to date Bill Paxton.
Oh,
wow.
Oh.
No, I know.
It was just, very sad.
Yeah,
he's a great actor. Really,
I loved him.
Seemed like a great guy.
Such a sweet guy. We worked together on this movie that we called Deadly Lessons. That was early in my career. My gosh, like probably like maybe the third or fourth big project I worked on. And he was so sweet. And we dated for a little while. And then we knew, like, you know, when you're a young actor, you know you're going to go and do your career first. That's like, it's just kind of, you both were in the same, you know, place. But years after that, I mean, within the last, you know, five years ago, I don't know when this all happened with him, but I bumped into him and I had wrote about him in my book, and I gave him my book and I said, you have to read this because, you know, it was so special. And he picked me up in his arms and he whirled me around and went, Diane, how are you? And so it was very sweet. So we had that moment, you know, but just you got to appreciate life.
Yeah, you know, he also played Thug Number 2, I think, in Terminator, the original Terminator.
Oh my Did he
gosh.
Really?
Look
uh-huh.
at you.
That was his first role.
Wow.
Definitely taking you away from
my
a Tuesday
God.
Night. You're
there,
definitely,
you need it.
I'm taking you away from
Beautiful.
Here.
Thug
yeah.
Number 2.
Diana,
you mean the opening scene when he comes up and he
Diana
says, I need your clothes, your boots, and your bike?
Yes.
That part? He's one of those three guys?
No, that was from the second Terminator.
Oh,
I think
okay.
it was from the first Terminator when
wow.
the guys confront him at the Griffith Park.
Yeah, right at the beginning.
Yeah.
Wow, that is such a good
some together some trivia, but it's going to be like nothing compared to like the knowledge basis.
What are the questions?
I have one more for you.
Go on.
Okay, all right. This is a kind of a personal one, but yeah, all right. But it's a.
And I will do the entire movie of Blazing Saddles. Granted, it's a 70s movie from start to finish if you guys have time tonight.
I love that movie.
Why not? What actor starred in License to Drive with the two Coreys? He also starred in a TV show in the 90s based off a famous 80s movie.
With the two Coreys.
Was it the father yeah. that played in the movie? Are you talking about?
He starred in License to Drive with the two Coreys. He went on to star in a TV show in the 90s based off a famous 80s movie. Was it John Asher, Jeremy Sisto, Sam Rockwell, or Michael Manasseri?
Whoa.
I want to see Michael Manasseri.
That is correct.
Wow.
Yeah. And that is my partner, so that's why I threw that
one
in there.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah. No way.
Yeah.
He's good.
You are excellent.
That was amazing.
If it's the same person I'm thinking about, I know the name.
And the 90s show based off the 80s movies was one you just mentioned, Weird Science.
Oh, that's right. And that was Michael Manasseri.
Yes. And he started it with John Asher.
I would not have remembered that.
John Asher, who went on to direct Dirty Love, my first film that I produced with his wife, Jenny McCarthy, at the time.
Oh, wow.
In 2005.
Wow.
Yeah.
It comes full circle.
It comes full circle.
There it goes.
Now you and I
there
are
go.
Full circle. I'm so excited.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I had some quotes based on the years.
Okay.
And
right.
These are open for the whole table.
Okay.
So,
all right.
You know, we've got, I know we have Jason here. He'll probably nail these quick. So don't just jump on him. But in 1981, the New York Islanders won the Stanley Cup. And also in a very famous movie, a very famous actor said this. It's good to be the king.
Oh. Piss boy.
Very famous actor.
For
and as I said before to you, don't get saucy with me, Bernays. I've used that one before with you. Same movie.
Yeah, many times.
It's not a... No, I have not. It's a hockey...
No, it's not a hockey movie.
It's not a hockey movie.
It's just a...
Do we have to guess the actress or the movie?
It was said by Mel Brooks.
Oh.
It's in the main room.
Oh, what did he do? Spaceballs? No, that's later.
1987.
Okay.
Push the Malt Wine.
Or maybe 86. I don't know.
What did he... I don't know what he did.
Jason, you're open. Go, Jason.
Go. History of the World, Part 1.
Oh, I would never get that. Right. I would never get that.
In 1982...
That was good, though.
I'm doing this also for Kevin Connolly, by the way. In 1982, the New York Islanders won the Stanley Cup.
He keeps reminding us.
And this actor said, it's a way of looking at a wave and saying, hey, bud, let's party.
That sounds like Bill Paxton.
Did he also rescue Brooke Shields from drowning and had Van Halen and blew all the money on Van Halen part of playing his birthday party?
Yes, he did.
Okay, was that Sean Penn?
Yes.
Oh,
Sean Penn
yes.
In Fast Times.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High, that's right.
It's a way of life, no hobby. It's a way of looking at that wave and saying, hey, bud, let's party.
Jeff Spicoli was the character.
Oh, he was. There you go. When you did that voice, I'm thinking, is that Keanu? But no, wait.
But you know what?
1989.
Keanu, Bill Paxton, and Sean Penn kind of all sound alike a little bit.
By the way.
How they do their intonations.
Another 80s movie where one of the main characters had an abortion, and you never see that in movies today.
Yep, exactly. And they came out around the same time.
Yes.
Actually, Virgin was actually filmed first, but we came out later, a little bit later.
But yeah.
But isn't that interesting that, yeah, that, that
is taboo nowadays.
It is. Well,
really.
Well, Fast Time was the American version of Virgin, in a sense. It was for American audiences. So that's why that was like hitting.
And there was no Bag of Oranges in that one.
No.
Bag of Oranges, I think of Grifters. I think of the Grifters. You know, I'm just going to start doing music, what it's like. Connect the dots relation to, yes. I just found out that one of the Disney princesses, or I don't know if she was a Disney princess, but one of the princesses originally was pregnant, but they didn't have it in the Disney movie. Do you know which one?
No. Which Disney princess?
No, she was not in a Disney movie, but she was originally in the original fairy tale. In the original fairy tale. She was originally pregnant. Do you know which one?
Mm. No.
Obviously, Disney didn't write that in.
Yeah. No. Do you know which one?
No. I love this.
Snow White.
This is great.
Make some guesses.
What Disney princess was pregnant?
She was not Disney. She was not Disney.
Oh, she was a princess.
It was just
she
in
was
the fairy tale that they,
she
Disney based it on.
She was a princess, and it was based off the famous fairy tales. Okay. High Castle. Rapunzel.
I was going to say Rapunzel.
Yes.
Oh, that's why they put her up there?
I never knew that. It was too late.
You're supposed to lock your daughter in the tower before that happens.
Okay, let's get the
That's the whole
correct.
Point of
that
the tower.
Was really good.
Duh.
Oh, and so that's what we learned from a fairy tale, right? Okay.
In 1983, the New York Islanders won the Stanley Cup. And this actor said, in this very famous movie that we watch every year at the holiday time, in Philadelphia, it's worth $50.
Burnt my fingers, man.
Oh, that is
so hot to burn my fingers.
Let's. Wait.
You mean to imply this watch is stolen?
How much for the gun?
Give it to Sean.
Sean, go ahead.
Go, Sean.
It's Trading Places.
That's right.
I don't think you understand.
This watch tells time simultaneously in London, Paris,
and
Stade.
In Philadelphia, it's worth $50.
Right.
Wow. Okay. I remember that.
It tells time simultaneously in Monte Carlo, Beverly Hills, London, Paris, Rome, and Stade.
In Philadelphia, it's worth $50.
One more. In 1984, the Edmonton Oilers won the Stanley Cup, and they lost. Oh, I think the Islanders lost to the Oilers.
You're going
to
quote Beverly Hills Cop, aren't you?
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry.
I don't even need to say it. Go ahead. Can you name the quote?
It.
Huh? Wow. Do you see how good this guy is?
Psychic.
Yeah. He is. I mean,
I ain't going to fall for no banana in the tailpipe.
It's close. I was going to use the, is this the man who wrecked the buffet at Harrow's Club today? And the man who disabled one of our squad cars with a banana in the tailpipe?
Sorry.
You're close.
Hey, man, I didn't have to say no banana in my tailpipe.
That's right.
Oh,
you got it right.
I would not have got it.
That's impressive.
That's
holy cow.
You guys, I don't
That's
know.
That's crazy.
Job,
in,
yeah.
in 85.
Now you can see who really didn't date in high school.
Right. That's right. Exactly.
Nothing else to do.
You were busy watching my movies, right?
I was watching sports and movies.
Somebody had to do it.
Right. Somebody had to do
sports
it.
Sports and movies.
In 1985, the Edmonton Oilers won the cup again.
Oh.
You're going to quote Goonies, aren't you?
No.
Okay.
But you were close. I am going to quote somebody that we've already referred to. Do you think they're having any fun being catatonic in a closet?
You know, it's weird science.
Is it weird science?
Weird science.
Yeah, it is weird science.
Bill Paxton, when he was playing Chet.
Yes. That's right.
He was yelling at Wyatt and
about his grandparents being frozen.
About his...
Yeah.
Hey, Grammy. Hey, Grampy.
Quite frankly, they weren't having a very good time at the party.
Not having a good time?
Do you think they're having a good time being catatonic in a closet?
And then he goes upstairs and, like, whacks him over the head with a gun. 1986, Montreal Canadiens won the cup. And this actor said, see what a Fivsky can do for a man's attitude?
See what a what?
A Fivsky.
A Fivsky. I don't even know.
A $5 bill.
Oh,
which was
you.
Used to tip the attendant to watch a very special car.
Oh, would that be that would be the Michael J. Fox film, right? No?
No.
No, was it Gross Point Blank?
Close, but it was a Ferris Bueller's Day Off tips the attendant and then the guy and the
I didn't like that movie.
What?
Wow. I didn't care for it. I just never cared for Ferris Bueller.
I didn't care for it.
Yeah. All right, well, I was in there.
I didn't. I like
Because you know why? It was the movies that everybody gave attention and everybody, quote, loved that I would usually kind of distance myself from.
That was one of my trivia questions was from Ferris Bueller.
What was your trivia from Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
It was – wait a minute.
Like, I can't remember her name right now.
Oh,
but, okay.
What does he sing on the float?
Yes.
Oh.
What does Ferris sing on the float?
Oh, Donker Shame.
No, he does a
Wayne
shake
Newton.
And shout.
And?
Something
and,
shout?
Yeah, twist and shout.
Twist and shout. Shout, twist and shout.
But like, okay, the girl that played Jordan in the movie Private School for Girls. I can't remember her name right now. I'm blanking on it.
Betsy, no.
Yes.
Russell? Betsy Russell?
Betsy Russell.
Oh, I was in acting class with her.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah,
no
I know
way.
Betsy. She's
That's
great.
Funny.
Mm-hmm. Again, I love that movie more than Ferris Bueller because I just...
There you go.
You know, or Hot Resort, which was...
I have a Ferris Bueller... trivia that I didn't ask because it's not on my list, but who got their movie start in that? Who started their career? Yes, in Ferris Bueller. They made their movie debut and playing what kind of role?
Was it Cameron?
The guy
was it
played...
Mia?
No, Mia Sarah was...
I didn't know.
No, it was in the bathroom. You see, it's Jennifer Grey.
Oh, no. Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen.
Oh, yeah, Charlie Sheen and Jennifer Grey.
Oh,
yeah,
playing a drug dealer.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
He reprised that role recently in some fashion in the movie, on the TV show The Goldbergs, I think.
Oh, really?
Mm. He reprised that role. Yeah, I think it was the show. Maybe it was something else.
That's a great role, though.
Yeah.
He was really funny in that movie.
That was a funny.
Yeah,
funny
he was memorable and just goes to show you.
Drugs.
Yeah.
Now, see, if you were going to quote Trading Places, I would have given you a different line that you wouldn't have gotten.
What would you have quoted from Trading Places?
Is that your purse?
Is that a nice
purse? That's a nice purse.
Okay. And she sprays the banaka on the guy. That's right.
Yeah.
That's great. In the jail waiting
room. I went for the more esoteric lines that just people just usually didn't.
Those men tried to have sex with me when he's getting out of prison.
Like in Rocky, for example, my favorite line in the movie is probably one of the last things he says. There's the culmination of his efforts, and Adrian's running to him, and she wants to tell him, you know, she loves him, the whole thing. And she gets into the ring, and there's this big moment, and he looks at her and says, "Where's your hat?" And I never caught that line in the years past. And when I was watching it in the last couple of years, I saw it. I go, what a great line. It is so in character. It's perfect. He's oblivious to the entire event itself. And the folks are, "Where's your hat?"
Right. And that's like how he knows her. Like
that's that is a great.
It's a great line.
Like, care about her too, and kind of.
It's the best line in the movie, I think.
See, and I like the fact you're looking at those lines. It's like it's every line should say something about the character.
Yeah, and I'm like, for example, if there's a newspaper in a movie, okay, that has like newspaper and article, I will pause it to read the other articles.
Ooh.
Oh,
what?
My God.
See the other headlines and other. I want to see what they say.
Oh
wow!
I love that's the type
that's
of
a detail,
stuff
man.
You
right
should
there.
Be
that
detective.
Is really
that's
detailed.
That's the type of stuff I love to see. Like, are there like what are the headlines in this make believe movie? I want to see that.
Yeah,
I have one other Stanley Cup related quote for you, and it's a quote that I use fairly regularly because it relates to my specialty as a plastic surgeon. It's in the year 1989 when the Calgary Flames won the Stanley Cup.
Lanny McDonald,
and the quote is. Oh, those are great. Those are fun for the whole family.
Oh, he's referring
that's a
to
boob line.
Breasts?
Right.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
Oh,
what's the
gosh.
Movie?
Those are
fun for the whole family. That sounds like something Rodney Dangerfield would say.
No, it's
close. That's close, but not Rodney. Uncle what, Buck,
right?
When
John Candy says that.
One of the neighbors comes over and goes, oh, I just got my new breast implants. Want to see them?
Yes.
And like pulls up her shirt. He goes, those are nice. Those are fun for the whole family.
It wasn't Uncle Buck. It was Summer Rental.
Summer Rental.
Oh, okay. I just thought this is amazing.
That's
what
we said. So I'm like, wait, this is Summer Rental.
He did it.
Are you sure?
Yes.
It's not Uncle Buck?
Positive. Because the girl had a blue bikini on.
That's right.
And she pulled him up.
Totally remember. He's
and, you go, and the husband was sitting right
never
there.
Never mind. That's right. Yeah, check him out. And,
or was it Great Outdoors? One of the two. I have to double check that.
Oh, we're going
to
need a fact check.
Okay. All right, but you know, maybe you better watch it again. Right?
John Candy
but people
can
say
that.
Though.
John Candy can
John Candy
say that
John Candy can say it. That's right.
You know, certain people can say these things.
Well, because he was so embarrassed, you know, when he was looking at him. He's like, oh, those are great. They're fun for the whole family. I just like can't look at it.
Brilliant. Yes.
Yeah, he was... He was an amazingly funny guy.
Yeah.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles was one of my favorite films.
I watched
hilarious
it
in there.
10 times that movie.
Yeah, it was great.
It was.
Do you guys have any more 80s trivia for us to lay
if
down?
I do, let's see. Okay.
I have something funny to ask. Okay. Here we go. I've got a question for you.
Yes,
all right,
look it up
let's
later,
see.
Jay.
I was in a commercial.
Dentine or Trident or...
Let's see. And I was walking along in the street, and let's see if you remember what product it was.
Okay.
Because I know that it was popular, and maybe you other people in this room
it
will
was
remember.
Shampoo.
Walking along the street,
Pop
the street,
Rocks,
and I bump into someone on the street, and I don't want to say the line because it is. I'll give you a hint. It's a food. Very popular commercial. And
is it Pringles?
No. Bumping into someone.
Oh, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
You've got your
chocolate and my peanut butter.
Right, my peanut butter.
Butter
right,
and
exactly.
Chocolate.
Very good, very good.
Oh,
it was such a popular commercial. I did an interview for the John Kerwin show, and he actually reenacted it in the on the talk show.
That's
and I
good.
Was like, "What? How do you even remember this?" But yeah, so there you go. There's some nice commercial trivia. I did a bunch of commercials. Trident Sugarless Mints.
I knew it was a gum in there. I remember
right?
Them,
yeah. Yeah, good for you. See, he knew, right? But that was
he came out of that.
That was before
as you were
Virgin.
Saying it. Yeah.
Yeah, that was before Virgins.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good.
Well,
okay, I have one for you. All right. Which singer's lyrics are quoted on screen at the very start of The Breakfast Club?
Oh, gosh. I knew this.
That's a
all
good
right.
question.
Oh.
Dun, 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 dun.
Can't remember.
Right. It's been a while since I saw it.
David Bowie.
Oh, right.
Oh,
then these kids
taste.
That you spit on or whatever. Yeah, it's from Changes.
Oh,
I think, isn't
nice.
It?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. I vaguely remember that now.
Yeah,
that's
I haven't seen
one.
It for so long.
I haven't seen Breakfast Club.
How did you find
forever.
That question?
That's
did you
a
just
good
think
one,
of
though.
It or
yeah,
did you look up?
These are all, most of these are courtesy of Sandro Manetti, Mr. Trivia.
Nice.
Awesome.
I'm going to have to watch that movie again.
Do you guys have any hockey trivia for us? Anything that you'd like to ask us about the game? Anything you want to know about the Dr. Hockey podcast? Because we are.
Have you ever met the Henson brothers?
Man, would we love to meet the Hanson brothers.
I have a signed picture from them, but my friend got it
no,
signed.
No, we've never met them, but we regularly quote them and
they're
refer
so
to
hilarious.
Them all the time,
I was doing that line today. I can't say it, but the shut the – I listen to my song. It's like that was like the funniest line ever.
None of that stinking root beer.
We love
and
it.
And the Coke thing, like that's like classic. I mean, this
I
movie would
that
be,
movie was amazing.
This movie would be famous now. Slapshot.
Yeah. Yeah. Slapshot
it would be
incredible.
It's so great. It's like it's great.
Now, but
movie
it's
making.
The problem is it's not politically correct for the time. It would be.
Oh, that's
it,
true. That there's
there are
some
a lot
really,
of
there's
some, problems.
There's a lot of yeah.
Especially,
you're right.
Especially when it came to the goalie with Hanrahan.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
He's the only Hanrahan. You can't. Yeah. They nowadays that would be panned. It would be protesting.
Yeah. People yeah, would no, be. They would pick at that movie.
Yes.
There's
well,
a...
I still can appreciate that it was made back then.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Different sensibility. And you learn a lot. I mean, it really captured small-town America and the passion for a sport.
Johnstown,
you know?
PA.
That's true.
It was so great, like, for that. I mean,
Shahab's actually got a good hockey-related trivia question.
Oh,
what
right.
do you got, Shahab?
Go, Shahab.
All right, so which hockey player made a cameo in the third Mighty Ducks movie?
Paul Kariya, was it?
Wayne Gretzky? I don't know.
Paul Kariya.
Oh. Nice. Jason.
Wow.
You can't stump him. You can't stump him. That's
no.
it.
All right, I have a couple too, but I mean, they're so easy. You guys are just going to run through them. What year does Marty McFly go back to in Back to the Future?
1955.
All right, see, exactly. Who?
November. Jason says November, like, no. Like you're an idiot if you don't know. And I was like, I have no idea.
No idea.
I had no clue back, at all. Just to, go on record.
I think he goes back to October 26, 1955.
Wow.
If I remember.
How many gigawatts of energy did he need to go back?
1.21 gigawatts.
Do you have a photographic memory?
It got me through med school.
I was just going to say, it's amazing. Because you just look at something and it just stays, right?
Okay, here it is.
For the most part.
I have to download my computer in my head. I can't keep it, right? Okay.
This is a tougher one. From The Princess Bride, Vicini. Ooh. What does he keep saying wrong? What word does he keep misusing?
I never saw it.
You never saw Princess Bride?
Never wanted to see it. The title threw me off. The title threw me off. I never saw it.
See, it was Last American Virgin that you'd go see, but not that. Because,
oh, for sure.
Right? See, exactly. It's too princessy. It's like, no, no.
Well, because there's a chance there may be some nudity in Last American Virgin. Right. You know, Princess Bride.
Right.
He keeps saying, inconceivable. That's what he keeps saying.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Back to Ferris Bueller.
Your favorite movie.
It is, totally. The vice principal, or the...
Yes.
The principal's assistant, she goes, the geeks, the sluts, the bloods, the motorheads, the dorks, the dweebies, the dickheads, they all love him. They think he's
a righteous dude.
There it is.
Wow. Excellent.
One for Jay.
I had to play it through.
Wow. Good job,
that's right.
Jay.
I forget the name of that actress. She's very funny.
Oh, well, he's very popular, Ed. The sportos, the motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads. They all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
Wow.
See, in my mind, by the way, I always think of these characters from these 80s movies when they go and they finally get the girl. What happens to them in over 20 or 30 years?
Mm-hmm.
Are they still together?
Mm-hmm.
You know, did John Cusack still hold up a boombox for,
movie.
But no.
But he's playing it out because that's how his brain works.
In my mind, though.
Well, we're going to find out Bill and Ted's.
Bill and Ted's. You could find out.
There you go.
But it would be nice if they did a Better Off Dead. You said you didn't want to see Virgin again, so I get that.
No, I don't want to see it remade. I want to see what happens after.
If they did, I always thought that
what
if
happens
they did,
30 years.
Oh, by the way, also, did you know in the movie Hot Tub Time Machine, they made a reference to Better Off Dead? There was a scene when he got to the ski lodge, and someone said, "Hey, where's my $2?" You heard it in the background. And it was an homage to that.
Yeah.
And so what a phenomenal movie, Hot Tub Time Machine, by the way.
Very funny.
I have to say. And number two was very good, not quite as good as one, because it didn't have John Cusack. But he's a legend, by the way.
Yeah, no.
I wish that he would, John would, we should do a convention together. I don't know. It would be really great. I don't know. I think fans would go completely insane if
Lane
we were together.
Meyer. Truly a sublime metamorphosis here today.
All right, let's hear it. I want to hear Ricky.
Oh, well, I can't do the entire...
Ricky, your mother, right. It is
right.
I
had the movie on my phone.
You know what? There's going to be a lot of downloads of Better Off Dead now. I can see that.
You know, it's actually not available.
I haven't
not
seen
available.
Ricky.
It's not... Right. It's
right.
Not
a, Ricky.
But Bill and Tess.
Morning, catch again. How are you going to catch a cold?
Gotta go, right. It's brilliant. Okay. So wait, Virgin, 30 years later, I had an idea, and this would what it, I could see it being. It would be I marry... Rick's character, and he turns out to be. We have kids, and he turns out to be abusive. And the top of the film
starts
with him.
It's a real surprise based on his character in the movie.
Yeah, right. at the top of the film, he kicks me out, and I'm now working at Hot Dog on a Stick at the mall. And Lawrence comes in. Escalator. Gary comes up the escalator. He's all dressed in a suit. He's now successful, business person or, lawyer or something. He comes up and he goes to get a lemonade and he sees me and our eyes meet. And then it's Gary's second chance. And we date and you see the love scene you've always wanted to see. And it's this beautiful story. And then he dumps me at the end.
Oh.
That's what my version
leaves
was.
You with the bag of oranges.
Yep.
Again.
Yeah. Because that's because we got to let it be full circle there. So.
But see, that would be a great web series like they did for Karate Kid.
There you go. Just
see, that's, I think
Cobra
that should be something. That's, again.
Well, maybe you should be a producer, Jason.
Well, that's one of the reasons why Cobra Kai was so phenomenal was because it continued the story. It wasn't trying to remake things.
Right.
It didn't try to reinvent the wheel.
Continue it.
And capture that magic. it continued it. And so you saw what happens to the characters. Johnny Lawrence, he's kind of a drunk. He's a failure in life, the whole thing. So right. You see these guys now as adults, which has always been my – that was why I loved it so much, because it was always my dream. What happens after the tournament? What happens after, you know, Daniel gets back from Japan? The whole, it was a whole thing behind it. And so they created such a great world and a great story of it.
Yeah, wouldn't it be nice to see what happens?
I would love to see that for a lot of the classic 80s movies.
It'd be nice for Better
like,
I'm
see,
Dead.
Like, like Breakfast Club. What did Bender do? Did he become like an investor in Yahoo because his buddy, you know, now he's a multi-billionaire?
Yeah.
You know, these are things, you know, Trading Places. Did Billy Ray and
Winthorpe,
did they really go on to become millionaires? Did they get arrested by the SEC, you know, the Trade Commission?
That's true. They did.
You know what? This
trading.
Isn't like yeah. this is a nice kind of series. Even if you took each movie and you made a little mini stories about it, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
All well, right. You've got the guy. I'm telling you, Jason Berkeley can help you with this.
Make it happen, Jason.
You know, he's got the experience, and it sounds also like you guys need to make a date for trivia night.
Or maybe
too,
did Gary go on Tuesday. To own the Pink Pizza?
Yep. Very possible.
He was a delivery boy for it.
You're right. Oh yeah, that's exactly right.
And expanded and have 50 pink pizzas.
Karen became a prostitute.
So, oh.
What?
Right? Because, you know, that's what happens to girls who like that. They have to become prostitutes, right? Oh. Doesn't everybody want to see that? No?
No.
Okay, fine. I know. I figured everybody hated my character at the end so bad that they might want
to. No, I actually hated Rick.
Really?
More. Yes.
Wow.
Because he knew what he was doing to his buddy. Yeah. That was the reason.
Yeah, right?
I didn't care for her.
Becky's friends, they don't do that to
I didn't
each
care
other.
For no, her as much no. because she didn't appreciate Gary.
Yeah.
But you guys have to watch this movie. It's such a great movie.
Yeah.
Well, I think you're going to get a lot of people. You're going to have some questions
next
week.
I want to rewatch all your movies with you.
Oh, I love that.
And
you want
the commentary.
Great.
Yes.
That's right. The actor's commentary.
She'll talk over it, so I'll have to watch it twice.
Yep. I probably will. Right? Well,
and see, I want the outtakes of some of these movies. I want to see what happened.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
You know.
I wonder, what Boaz has.
Oh, that would be so fun. Yeah, his offices are right down the street from me.
We have to go visit him.
We should.
We're going
definitely.
To
do
that. Well, we're definitely going to have you guys in again because we have to wrap.
Yes,
and we really appreciate you guys coming in big time. This was really awesome. And we got to see that Jason truly is the 80s trivia master.
He's 80s maestro.
He held his own in the – I mean, I'm – you know,
with all due respect, my buddy in Michigan, John Coden, I don't know if he's listening or not when he will. He and I are the only two that can go at each other like this because he can hold his own.
Can he come out here on a Tuesday?
That's right. Well,
I'm going to have to ask him.
Kimberly's looking to win this trivia contest.
Let's see what we can get him on.
Where is that happening? At the
Cat and Fiddle.
The Cat and Fiddle. So you need to get him out.
I have a story about that place too.
of course, you
I'll
do.
Tell you after we're done.
And it has to do with the Red Wings and a dude from Detroit.
Not at all. But maybe we'll get my friend John on Skype and we'll talk about because he's.
Oh, that's a fun idea.
Because we were the ones that recognized Scott Benjaminson. From Rudy, the brother from Rudy, at a Bruce concert at Cobo Hall in the basement one time in 2004, I think it was. Well, so it just, you know. That's...
There's more to do. And we definitely really appreciate Kimberly Cates,
so
Diane Franklin
Thank
coming
you.
In.
And Dr. Calvert.
Totally excellent. Thank you for having us on the show. We loved it.
Dr. Brainiac.
Merci for you. Very nice. I'm glad you like the movie.
Well, this is the Dr. Hockey Podcast. We're signing off with your prescription for the NHL.
How's it going, ladies?
You're the ones we saw in front of the castle.
I am Ted of San Dimas. And, I bring to you a message of love.
From who?
From myself.
And what is this message you speak of?
Lyrics, dude. Recite him some lyrics. Oh, you beautiful babes from England, for whom we have traveled through time. Will you go to the prom with us in San Dimas? We will have a most triumphant time. Way to go.
What does your father want?
Want to be married to two horrible old men today.
No way!
Will you help us escape?
Of course, babes. Well, how's it going, royal ugly dudes? I'm the Earl of Preston.
And I am the Duke of Ted.
Put them in the Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden? Excellent!
Execute them.
Bogus. We'll save you, babes!
Thanks for listening to Dr. Hockey. Check out new episodes every Thursday and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.
All right, y'all, let's take a quick break from the show so we can tell you about our sponsor, Indochino.com.
Did you say y'all?
I did.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
Well, I went to school at Vanderbilt in Nashville.
I have no problem with that. I was just asking.
So I'm not a you guyser much anymore. I'm sort of a y'aller.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Just a question.
I'm just saying. So y'all, listen up. Indochino is something very cool and something I need to jump on because I got a big talk coming up very shortly and I need a new suit. So I am going to go into the actual store, which is over on
it's in Beverly Hills, right?
Yeah, it's close by to my office.
Yeah.
But you can go to Indochino.com and all you have to do is take your measurements and send them in and order up whatever finishes you want on your suit, all the colors, fabrics, whatever, and you can actually just send it, tells you how to do it, it'll walk you through it. You send your measurements in and they're going to send you for, are you sitting down, Jason?
I am officially sitting down, but this is, I like this because I need something to spruce up my wardrobe.
$359 with the promo code Dr. Hockey. That's DrHockey.
For a complete custom suit?
Yes, Sean.
Wow.
I'm glad you asked. It is for a suit that is made to order for you. Now, normally they're like $750 or something, but with this promo code Dr. Hockey, you just go to Indochino.com, follow the instructions, and you will get a brand new custom suit. They also make shirts. They do have stores around the country. I mean, they've got them in a lot of great places. So go to their website, Indochino.com, and check it out. I highly recommend this. I will be doing it, actually. I need a suit very shortly here, so I got to get on and do it. But I'm going to try and do it in the store because I think I want to kind of like look at things a little bit more. A lot of people are internet shoppers now, and they can just go to Indochino.com, do their internet shopping, send in their measurements, and get their custom suit. These people are professionals. They know how to do it. Their system works. And you're going to get something that looks great. It's not like something you bought off the rack. And that's the problem. Like these suits that are – I don't know who they make these suits for that are on the rack, but they all need to be severely altered when I bring my boxcar body in there to get fitted up.
Boxcar body.
And you've got to have some sort of problem, too. You got to go to one of these, like, you know, super tall and lean places.
I'm not a freak, okay? I'm 6'7". I am very proportionate, and I get them.
No, you should be in the NBA, dude. Really, seriously.
Well, that's a different story.
I mean, come on.
No, I should be.
Is everything you own custom? Like, do you have a custom bed? And
it has to be,
what? I'm not Andre the Giant.
Dude, you are. You're like a head taller than me. It's scary.
Well, that doesn't mean I'm a freak.
I think it may be a little bit more than $359 for Jason's. Because of all the extra material?
That's true. You need a lot more material. Yours might be more expensive.
This is all like high school all over again.
All right. I'm just saying. It's really, you're just frightening, and that's it. So try it out. Indochino.com. Bring your measurements. Promo code Dr. Hockey. $359 custom suit. If you don't do it, I don't even know what to tell you.